In late April, U.S. commanders were growing concerned about activity in Fallujah and Ramadi, two conservative Sunni towns an hour to the west of Baghdad, on the western fringe of the land between the rivers. The area generally had been neglected in the war planning, which had focused on Baghdad. The only attention paid to Al-Anbar province was an effort to stop Scud launches against Israel from the remote western part of the province. The rest of it, far closer to Baghdad and able to influence events in the capital, seems to have been ignored. This is inexplicable, even for a war plan built around the narrow aim of knocking off Saddam Hussein's regime, because Fallujah was home to an estimated 40,000 former Ba'athist Party operatives, intelligence officials, and Iraqi army officers who should have been expected to defend their interests vigorously. Central Command's planning for the post-war period, never good, was particularly inaccurate in predicting the likely state of the Sunni heartland north and northwest of Baghdad. Continued armed opposition to coalition forces unlikely once Saddam flees or is captured, killed, stated a classified Central Command briefing on Phase 4 issues. The briefing notes attached in the PowerPoint are even more optimistic. Reporting indicates a growing sense of fatalism and accepting their fate among Sunnis. There may be a small group of diehard supporters that is willing to rally in the regime's heartland near Tikrit, but they won't last long without support. This part of the Sunni triangle was never assessed properly in the plan, Major General Charles Swanick, the commander of the 82nd Airborne Division, recalled later in an email. On April 27 in Ramadi, Swanick recalled a hand grenade was thrown from a crowd at 82nd Airborne soldiers, severely wounding two. The next day, there was an incident in which a number of Iraqis, between 6 and 17, were shot dead by U.S. troops. The event did much to poison relations in the town, ultimately leading the following year to two major battles there in which thousands of fighters died and well over 100,000 civilians were displaced. The facts of the April 28th incident are in dispute, as is often the case with such situations. Army officers from three different units offered different accounts, and an investigation by Human Rights Watch found discrepancies not only among the U.S. military accounts, but also among the versions offered by different Iraqis. The most likely explanation of what happened is that Iraqi provocateurs took advantage of the demonstrations to shoot at U.S. troops and trick them into firing into the crowds. As Swanick recalled it, on April 28, part of the division was based in a school in downtown Fallujah. The 82nd had been operating in Fallujah for 5 days. The Americans thought their presence was reassuring. "We came in to show presence, just so the average citizen would feel safe," Colonel Arnold Bray, commander of the 82nd Brigade in the area, told Human Rights Watch. But the people of the city, known for their cultural conservatism and a xenophobia considered intense even by other Iraqis, found the patrols unsettling and an insult to their personal dignity, perhaps the core value of Iraqi culture. April 28 was also the birthday of Saddam Hussein, and so a natural day for his loyalists to reassert themselves. "Several Iraqis instigated a crowd and approached this school," Swanick wrote. He continued, "5-6 instigators from within the crowd and on the roof of an adjacent building fired AK-47s at our soldiers within the school grounds. Our troopers returned very accurate and precise fires, killing, wounding these 5-6 instigators. The crowd withdrew with the killed and wounded. AK-47 shell casings were found on the adjacent rooftop and from within the area where the crowd stood. A check of hospitals and morgue produced only these 6 killed, as I remember." The leader of the platoon of Charlie Company that was responsible for security in the school when the demonstration began, Second Lieutenant Wesley Davidson, said, "The bullets started coming at us, shooting over our heads, breaking windows. It was coming from the street, the guys behind the taxi cab, and some in the street." Some Iraqi demonstrators told Human Rights Watch that people not near the school were firing rifles in the air, and they claimed that the demonstrators had no weapons. "They suddenly started shooting at us," said Falah Nawar Dahir, whose brother was killed. Others said that there was no firing at all until the American soldiers opened up. "There was no shooting, and they suddenly started shooting at us," said Mutaz Fad al-Dulami. The Americans said that 6 Iraqis died that day. The director of Fallujah's hospital, Dr. Ahmad Ghanim Al-Ali, told Human Rights Watch that 13 people were killed at the scene and 75 were wounded, with 4 of those dying in the following days. As with many such incidents, the differing accounts remain irreconcilable.